Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards with Impact Ministries. I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. We are coming to the last broadcast in this series about what to do when nothing seems to work. Now, there's a whole lot more information on the CD series that we just don't have enough time to make public, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you every morsel of everything I can give you in these weekly broadcasts. I'm giving you enough to really transform your entire life. And today, we're just going to talk about getting results, because at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want the Word of God to work in our life. We want the Word of God to produce what's promised in our life, and we know that happens based on us knowing how to interact with the Word of God with faith and trust, and we can have every transformation the Bible tells us we can. This message will be at www.impactministries.com along with this entire series. Feel free to use it in your Bible studies, in your weekly I groups, or wherever you can bless people. In this incredible series, What to Do When Nothing Seems to Work, I'm going to review for you some of the top tools that I have used to help people go through incredible transition. I've used this with people working through problems in their life. I've worked with people in businesses to overcome business issues. I want to tell you something. These principles work. I've used them personally, and I've seen thousands of people over the years come out of those stuck states and move on with God. You know, this is the last in this broadcast program. I want to give you as much as I possibly can because I want you to know how to bring about transformation in your life. You know, that was one of the things that just so powerful for me, because, you know, I came up under a belief system initially that kind of made you feel like a change was always going to be hard, and you had to go through all this suffering and this pain and come out on the other side and, you know, grow through this difficulty. And you know, and I didn't believe it was God that was making it hard for me, but basically I was taught that change was going to be hard, and it was just hard to go through all of this stuff. You know what? When you learn the biblical principles for writing the truth on your heart, when you learn about internal transformation, when you stop trying to change and think that you've got to become what you're not, and you discover transformation, which is really just yielding to who you really are, it is amazing at how quickly you can change things. You know, most of the time that I realize that I've got a struggle, most of the time that I realize I have an issue, and you know, if you're like me, sometimes other people realize you have an issue long before you realize it. But when we finally come to our senses and realize we have an issue, the amazing thing is you can sit down, get in your heart zone, and in a matter of minutes, you can break the power of what's been working in your life. You can transform beliefs. You can begin to go in a direction that you've always wanted to go in. And amazingly, it can be pretty much effortless. And when you get it truly written on your heart, it will always be effortless. Now, whenever we're facing these challenges, at the end of the day, what we want is we want the truth to work in our lives. Now, sadly, some of us are angry at God, and we work these religious formulas. Now, I'm not talking about working a religious formula, but we'll work religious formulas, and when they don't come out the way that we think that they should, we get angry at God. And see, that's a form of legalism, and that's where that root of bitterness springs up, because you're not moving in grace. You know, grace and faith always work together. Don't ever think that you're moving in grace if you're not moving in faith. And faith is where you trust what God has done through the Lord Jesus. And the power to do that is grace that comes alive inside of you. And grace does not work in the absence of faith. So when you trust God's Word and you move in the realm of grace, you're never trying to get God to respond to you, but you do realize the Bible talks about laboring to enter into rest. Now, that laboring is what you do to influence your heart. It's what you do to renew your mind. It's what you do to affect the way you think and believe. But ultimately, once you come to the place to where you really believe something, then that's where you enter into rest, and it starts to work effortlessly in your life. So at the end of the day, what do we want? We want the Word to work. And like I said, when a person thinks that they're doing something, trying to force God to respond to them, and it doesn't work, oh man, I tell you, self-righteousness will raise its ugly head, and the root of bitterness will spring up in you and defile you and everybody. And that's when you'll be looking at God thinking, I did my part, you didn't do your part. Well, God's already done His part. And our part is to bring our heart to a place of immovable trust. And when we have immovable trust based on the finished work of Jesus, grace comes alive and we are able to do exactly what God said we can do. And we can live from the inside out. Now, let me ask you this. When you're listening to the Word of God, whether you're listening to it as you read it, when you listen to the Word of God, when somebody's preaching it, when you're listening in your heart about the situation you're in, one of the questions is, what are you listening for? Are you listening for application? Are you listening for other people? In other words, what other people should be doing? Are you listening to get the right doctrine and be right? Are you listening and it's bringing you to criticism and just judging yourself or being critical of yourself or others? You see, people who do not listen for application, they never get it. They never get the truth. I've shared this scripture with you several times where Jesus said, I believe it was over in John 7, or in John 17, if you will to do His will, you'll know if my doctrine's of God, basically. Well, that's King James double talk for if you have any intention of putting this into practice. In other words, if you will, if you choose, if you determine to do His will, to put it in practice, He says, then you'll know. And that word know means experience. You will experience His doctrine. You will experience His truth. And you'll know when you experience it, that's real. Why? Because it's always going to work. It's always going to produce what God promises. Now, don't think that because you're seeking application that you're in dead works. You're not. This is not dead works. We're not talking about working to earn something. You see, when you're listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, hearing a sermon, you should be always just listening from that perspective we talked about last week. All things are possible for me because I believe. I'm listening to this because this is something that can work in my life. I am listening to this with the expectation that God is going to do something in me. God's going to lead me down a path. And I'm not going to try to figure that path out. I'm not going to try to choose how I'm going to get there. You know, it's so amazing. I'm telling you, God will lead you the way that will work for you, given all the factors about where you are, given all the factors about where the economy is and all the people around you. See, nobody can tell you how exactly to apply the Word of God. We can tell you generally, but nobody can tell you exactly. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you with the Word of God through the complexities of life. And because you trust God, this is not works. You're not trying to get God to do anything. You're believing that you are who God says you are. You're believing that you have what God says you have. You're believing that you do everything that God says you can do. And so you're always looking at the Word of God from the perspective of application. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, for over 40 years, every time I've picked up my Bible to read it, and every time I've started to study anything, I'm always, you know, usually I'll just pray before I read my Bible. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Show me how to apply this to my life. I don't care if I can win the argument with the next theological person. I'm not really looking for right doctrine per se. Now, I want to know right doctrine. Doctrine is important. But remember, doctrine apart from experience, doctrine apart from life application, is just information that will always just turn into a head trip. It'll just turn into egotistical knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I want to experience the love of God in every word that He's ever breathed. I want to experience the love of God as I put this truth into application, and I see it produce exactly what God said it was going to do. And so whether I do it from a formal prayer, which I do many, many times, or whether I'm just doing it always with that attitude of, show me how this applies to me. Show me how this can work in me. Show me how this can be a blessing to the world. Show me how this can benefit myself and other people. And I'm going to tell you something, from that perspective, God will always, always, always speak to you and show you how the Word can apply to you. And remember, what's amazing, when you go into a situation with that attitude, with the expectancy, you will nearly always have an inspirational breakthrough. Now, inspiration is not where you just suddenly have a doctrinal understanding of something complete. Now, I'll tell you something. Inspiration is where you experience something as being real right at that moment. I mean, bam, it explodes inside you. And with that inspiration, you know, you'll be sitting in church or you'll be reading your Bible, and all of a sudden you're kind of in the zone. You know, you kind of go away for a few minutes. And it's all real. It's as real as it will ever be. I want to tell you something. That is a heart breakthrough. And what I know is that whenever you have an inspiration, you have anywhere from just a few seconds to up to about 12 hours that if you don't start incorporating this into your life, into your belief system, you will lose it. The seed will be stolen from your heart. And it just becomes a memory. It becomes information that you remember, and you don't even know why you were so excited about it to start with. Now, you know, we've talked all about how the mind works, attempting to control the process, homeostasis, where, you know, and of course, I keep going back to this thing on controlling the process. You don't think about the fact that Moses was called to be the deliverer of Israel, so he decided how he would do it. He went out and committed murder, and, you know, that got him a 40-year trip to the desert. Paul was called to be an apostle, and basically he started arguments and conflict that caused such division and strife that the church started getting persecution. And the only way the church get persecution was for him to be exiled from the church. The Bible says the brethren took him and put him on a ship and sent him away. But he was trying to fulfill God's call in his life the way he wanted. And what's amazing with Paul is later in his life, he decided he was going to go to Jerusalem. He was going to take the word of God to the brethren in Jerusalem. And on the way to Jerusalem, a prophet, I think it was Agabus, the prophet, prophesied to him and said, if you go to Jerusalem, man, you're going to be bound hand and foot, and you're going to be taken away. And, you know, Paul says, none of these things move me. We quote that scripture like that's a good thing. You know, Paul should have let that move him. And then later on, when Paul went to the temple, he had a vision where the Lord told him, leave here. The people who seek your life are upon you. And he's standing there arguing when he's captured. And what does that get him? It gets him a lifetime in prison until his execution. Man, it's amazing how God will speak something to us, and then we decide how it's going to come to pass. And boy, we mess it up. Now, I want you to understand something. One of the things that I talk a lot about in the series, I didn't talk about so much on this program, is homeostasis. Homeostasis is where the mind is always working to validate its opinion, to validate it being right. Now, homeostasis, while it can work against us, it can actually work for us because it protects us from outside influences. You see, one of the things I've discovered about the heart, anybody can speak to my mind. Anything that's going on, anything I see with my eyes, anything I hear with my ears, anything that comes to me through my five senses can affect my emotions and can affect my thoughts. Anybody can influence my mind. Nobody can influence my heart but me, because it's what I do with these thoughts that come to my mind that in the end determine what gets written on my heart. See, God ministers to your spirit and part of your heart is spirit. So when you get born again, God writes all of His law, all of His commandments on your heart and all that they imply, which means it's not just rules, it's what they imply. It's what they would look like if you were walking in love. It's what it would look like in the life of Jesus. But now, the other aspect of your heart, the other part of your heart, because your heart is part soul, part spirit, you and you alone have the capability to minister to. And so that's why the Bible tells us that we have to guard our heart. And we guard our heart by guarding what we think about. The Bible teaches us that the doorway to the heart are the conscious thoughts of the mind. As the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That word think is the word doorway. Actually, it's a compound word. It means a door, a gate, an opening. And it means a porter, a janitor, a keeper. And the concept here is that your conscious thoughts become the doorway to your heart. And when you ponder any conscious thought to the extent that it begins to produce emotions, then the doorway opens to your heart, and this starts to influence your heart and then can ultimately influence your beliefs. Now, see, nobody can affect what you think on, but you can, and you can make choices. You can think by default. One of the Hebrew words for meditate, it means to complain. And the concept behind that is where you are complaining about something somebody has done to the point that you're experiencing all over again. Because the word meditate also means to frame up, to shape up, to mutter something over and over and over again. That's what happens. See, when we mutter something or think something over and over again or complain over and over again, it begins to frame up something. It begins to create a foundation into which something can fit and become real in the physical world. So what we want to do is we want to choose what we're going to think about. You say, well, I can't help it, man. These things, let me tell you can help it. That's when you stop and say, no, I send you away in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. If you can't send away your thoughts very quickly and very easy right now, you will be able to after you do heart work. You know, the more you do heart work, the more, number one, the more you become a whole brain thinker, the more balanced you are in your thinking. You're not just all intellectual and you're not just all emotional. You become very balanced in using both sides of your brain. But the more you do heart work, the more you quickly recognize things that violate who you are in Jesus, and the more quickly you can send these things away from you. And I tell you, when worry comes on me, when something starts troubling me, this is honest truth, most of the time, the moment I realize it, the moment I start feeling stress, it's as simple as saying, no, I send you away. And then I choose what else I'm going to think about, and that's over. Man, I want to tell you something. When I was a new believer, if worry or fear or if a temptation or some struggle came to me, I could struggle with for hours and sometimes days. And it just seemed like I could never overcome it. But I want to tell you something. When you begin to apply these things to your life and you experience the grace of God, it's really the grace of God, because when you start fully trusting God, and that's what heart work does. Heart work doesn't make things happen. Heart work makes things believable to you, makes God's truth real to you, makes the finished work of Jesus real to you. When you experience it as being real, the power for it to be real comes into your life. And I'll tell you what, when you can get over worry and fear in 10 seconds, I'm telling you, your whole world is going to be different. Now, listen what happens to the person who gets their heart fixed and established. And that word fixed, you know, we're not using that the way people think about it. We're using the way the Bible thinks about it. See, once your heart begins to get established in truth, all of these things start happening automatically. Listen, Psalm 112, verses 1 through 8 says this, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." Now, that word fear is not, I'm afraid he's going to hurt me. The book of 1 John tells us very clearly that if we're afraid God's going to hurt us, that we are not fully and completely established in His love. We are not fully convinced that He loves us with a perfect love and that we're afraid of what He might do to us. This word, the fear of the Lord, is talking about a reverence and an awe that produces love and it produces worship. So listen to this. It says, "Blessed is he Or blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. You know what? It's amazing that the people that I hear that say they believe in the grace of God and say they believe in the goodness of God, but they don't find delight in His commands. They see them as burdensome. The Apostle John, he told us, he said, listen, His commandments are not burdensome. And if they're burdensome, then there's something wrong with the way that you see God. But he goes on to say, and he talks about this person who delights. See, let me just say this, by the way. The word command means a divine prescription. I got news for you. When you get sick and you go to that doctor and, man, you're in pain or you got a fever or you got a sore throat or whatever, and that doctor, you know, you're like, give me a prescription. He gives you a prescription. You're going to race to the pharmacy to get that prescription filled. You can't wait to get that prescription filled because you know that prescription is the end of the suffering. Let me tell you something. That's what God's commands are. When God tells us how to treat our wives, and when God tells us how to manage our money, none of that stuff makes us righteous. None of that stuff makes God love us more. These are divine prescriptions that if we really trusted how good God was, we'd look at them and go, hallelujah, I got the answer to solving this problem. So anyhow, he delights in his commands. And here's what he says. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Listen to this. Wealth and riches are in his house. It's like, man, people are praying and seeking God, pulling down, casting, trying to get wealth and riches. It's just going to happen as a result of what's in this person's heart. It says his righteousness, his life being as it should be, will endure forever. And listen to this. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. In other words, when you're, that word upright is, I think it's the Hebrew word for straight. When your heart is straight with God, when your heart, when it's not crooked, it's not twisting the word of God, it says that even in the darkness that the light is going to dawn for you. It says, for the gracious, the compassionate, and the righteous man. Now listen to this. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He'll have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. And in the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. Man, you're talking about effortless living. You're talking about something just happening by the grace of God. This is because of this person that delights in God, loves and trusts and honors God and honors His Word. Life becomes effortless. Matter of fact, it goes on to tell us, it says, it will protect you when you sleep. It'll guide you when you walk. It'll keep you from temptation. It'll give you favor. My goodness, all of these things come because we trust God's Word fully. And once we believe it in our heart and we've renewed our mind, then homeostasis starts working for us, and that our mind quickly identifies that which is not true, quickly identifies that which would take it off course. Man alive, listen, I want you to learn how to get quick results, how to influence your heart, how to bring yourself to the place where you can get the kind of results that you want in your life. You know, I remember coming to that place where I accepted the fact that God had completely done His part. And, you know, for me, this happened when I got healed of this kidney disease. You know, I knew God's Word was true. I knew healing was mine, but I thought I needed to have some kind of experience for it to become real in me. And I remember when I made the decision to believe God's Word, no matter what, I remember I sat there waiting to have an experience. And I didn't have an experience. I just said, okay, I don't need an experience. The Word of God's true, whether I have an experience or not. And so I'm going to begin to acknowledge it as truth. I'm going to worship it as truth. I'm going to speak it as truth. I'm going to meditate on it as truth. I'm going to experience it as truth. And I did that. And as His Word became my truth, became my reality, situation by situation, I just walked out of. It was no longer me trying to get healed. It was just me experiencing who I was in Jesus. And who I was in Jesus wasn't sick, so I couldn't stay sick. It was no longer me trying to get blessed financially, because who I was in Jesus was prosperous. So I couldn't stay broke. I had to live out of who I am. And that's what I want to have happening for you. Listen, I'm going to be right back in just a few minutes. I want you to join me for this last mentoring moment in this series. You know, I wish I had the opportunity to meet with every one of you and just tell you how much I appreciate you and how much I thank you. You know, our world changers this year have helped us take the gospel to the ends of the earth. They have made it possible for this program to be online and on broadcast stations all over the world. We've printed books. We've done all these things because people who are generous, people who want it to touch other lives, have helped us do this. But I want to say to you, I hope you had a great Christmas. And if you didn't have a great Christmas, I hope that you will make a determination to invest in your own life. I hope that you'll go to our website and you'll download and use all the free resources we have. You know, we put stuff on our website regularly and we update it from time to time. And we're going to be putting a lot of new tools the first of the year onto our website. We're going to finish our mentoring program. And I want you to have the very best that you can so that you can have a great life. Jesus said that His doctrine was easy and light, and it would bring rest to your soul. Listen, these tools that I'm sharing with you in what to do when nothing seems to work, they will take you to that place. It is a laboring to influence your heart, but they will take you to that place of rest where your life goes on to automatic pilot and you automatically enjoy and walk in and experience all the things that God has given you through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, there's some very simple but crucial kingdom principles that you need to put into practice if you're going to make this kind of journey or anytime you're facing a situation. You know, we've already talked to you about coming to the place where you realize that all things are possible. You realize that my faith is working 100%. It got me where I am. You realize that nobody but me has to make any kind of choices for me to come out of this. Nobody can influence my heart but me. You know, those are just some basic things. But I just want to share a couple of other things with you. One of the really, really important principles is to hold nothing back. Once you make a decision to move forward, you know, burn every bridge. Make it hard to quit. You know, one of the first rules of the kingdom is you have to want these kingdom things or these promises of God. You have to want them more than you want anything else. That's the whole principle of the parable of the pearl of great price. You know, the man comes in the field, he finds a pearl, and he goes and sells everything that he has to buy this field so that he can have this treasure, because this treasure that he has found is worth more than everything else that he has. So you have to be willing to give up anything in order to make this work easily. And the people who have difficulty making transition, it's really not that change is hard. It's the fact that they haven't become absolute about the fact, this is a clear-cut choice. I'm holding nothing back. I'm willing to give up anything. And then next of all, take what I call a multimodality approach. In other words, you want to bring everything that you've got to influencing the changes that you want to bring in your life. Not that you're just trying to make them happen, but you want to facilitate them. That's why the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. In other words, get your intellect involved, get your emotion involved. Use every tool and every resource that you have. You know, our tools for transformation, we've got the prayer organizer, we've got the pain and pleasure exercise, we've got the releasing exercise, we've got heart physics modules, you've got biblical meditation I've taught you, you've got prayer, worship, many meditations, confession, put off, put on, casting down vain imaginations, interrupting destructive patterns. You've got all these different tools. Use them for quick results.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.